Today on Real Radio.
This is Paul's prayer, that we be empowered. The word means to be empowered. It means to increase in spiritual vitality. To be becoming stronger and more powerful. And this is how it happens in the Christian life.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament book of Ephesians. We've been exploring chapter 3, and in verses 14 through 17, we read quite the Trinitarian passage, which also lists benefits for the believer. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a mini-series called A Prayer for Power.
This morning in devotions at home, we're going through Proverbs as a family. And we're talking about Solomon, and the richest guy at that time, richest guy ever. Job was rich, Abraham was rich, but probably Solomon was the richest man that has ever lived. And Rebecca goes, "Ha! Richer than Bill Gates?" And I said, "Yeah, richer than Bill Gates." "Well, how can that be?" So, well, first of all, Bill Gates is king of nothing. Solomon was king of the greatest nation in the world. Not only that, but God gave him wealth that was beyond numbering. Who, when the Queen of Sheba came and saw his wealth, she said, "Man, I thought I was rich, and I'm nothing." And overwhelming wealth. And you think about how wealthy, by the way, it's interesting. I think it's kind of cool when you go throughout human history, you find out the richest human beings that have ever lived in the top 10 in recorded human history, they're all Christians. Isn't that weird? Look at Job, look at Abraham, look at David, look at Solomon. It's amazing. But what wealth? Our God, his ownership of it all, we can tap into. And you say, "Well, what does that mean to me personally? What do I need with Pluto or Jupiter?" Listen, we're talking about wealth that transcends the little things that we dabble in. Well, you know, I sell my stock today, buy more gold. That's nothing. The proof is, can you buy more stock or more gold and have peace, any more peace at night than you did when you woke up in the morning? Not a bit, probably more. And if you're wealthy, you have to worry so much about your wealth. Who's, a lot of people are after it, you know. And you worry about it. Listen, God's wealth and riches is that he wants to lavish on you peace and success in the spirit, joy, everlasting life. And yes, he will take care of the temporal things, but we don't need to focus on that stuff. But he will bless us according to his riches. And Paul's prayer is that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Are you struggling? You trying to make ends meet? This is not in my notes, and maybe God wants me to say this. It just fell right into my head. We never mention tithing in this church. Never. You know that if you come here. If you come here. You're here now. But some people will say, I can imagine, though, you know, we've never talked about it, but some people would say, "I can't afford to tithe." Listen, you know who your greatest enemy is? You are. If you're a Christian and you're not tithing to the Lord, you're robbing yourself. And Malachi chapter 3, God says that you have robbed him. Well, I've worked hard for it. Well, who gave you the lungs to breathe the air, to move your fingers, to go to work? God did. The scriptures say that we are to give unto him as Christians everything. Well, do I do 10%? No, we're supposed to do like 99%. Think about it. The rest of it's supposed to go to the government. Yes, God wants us to pay taxes. He says obey the law of the land. But Jack, they don't spend the money right. I know that. God's going to deal with them on that one. It's us. You want to be blessed? I can't afford not to tithe. Watch what happens. If you're so caught up in money, I got news for you. You'll always be caught up in money. Let it go. Just leave it alone. Let him handle it. A lot of people worrying about it. Just give unto the Lord. You see God's faithfulness. Try him. God says, you test me and see. If I don't come back on you with blessings, pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing into your bosom, he says, I'll bless you. And he'll do it. Man, he'll do it. According to the riches of his glory. And look, to be strengthened with might. Strengthened. Strengthened with what? With might, he says. I want you to understand this. Our God is so awesome. Psalm 139, great, great psalm. 139 is one of the greatest psalms there is. But look at verses 4 through 6 in Psalm 139. And it says, there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me. I love this. You have hedged me behind, before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, and I cannot attain to it. God is overflowing, abundant in awesomeness. And that's the God we're praying to, who shall supply all of our needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Who shall supply and strengthen us with all might? I read a story the other day. It's so great concerning this very thing. It was about a little boy who fell into a barrel of molasses. And it was his favorite. That's how he got into it. He was leaning over the barrel, smelling it, and fell into the barrel of molasses. And this is what his prayer was. He prayed, "Oh Lord, make my capacity equal to this opportunity." Isn't that brilliant? Oh, Lord, make my capacity equal to this opportunity. In other words, God, I just fell into a 55-gallon drum of molasses. Enable me now to eat every bit of it. And that's exactly what we're supposed to do as Christians. God, you are so awesome that you have the ability, you have the resources to fill my mind with nothing but thoughts of heaven, of what you want, of life. So God now, and will you pray this? Will you do this in your life? God now, fill my head with all that you want. Lord, concerning my job, concerning my family, concerning my future, go to him. What he wants to provide for you is so outrageously radical that when he performs what you've asked, we don't have so much because we don't ask. He wants to do it so much that in every one of our lives, every one of us who are Christians tonight, God wants to have something in our lives where we have to stand up and say, he did beyond what I could ever ask or think. Can you say that tonight? Some of you can. That's what every one of us as Christians, God wants to work out into our lives, to be able to jump up on these chairs, not now, not here, and say, he has been better than I could have ever dreamed. But if you approach God on this kind of a lukewarm thing, well, you know, God, I need $10, but I'm asking for two. Or I'd really like to have a future that has some kind of a purpose for you, but if I can't, help me to read my Bible today. You know, it's like, you know, I'm sure God just goes, man, that just really fires me up. I just feel so warm inside, I can't wait to answer that prayer. We have not because we ask not. Kids are great for that. They'll come, hey, Daddy, can I have this? Can I have a triple scoop? No, but they ask. We need to be like that. You might say, well, Jack, that's kind of greedy, isn't it? Well, I don't think so. I think he's kind of egging us on here. According to his riches, come on. According to his riches in Christ, come on, come on. He's saying, come on, come on, come on. Man, all of a sudden, our problems are not so big when we're connected to such a great God. And look what he says here. He says that we might receive this might through his Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, in the inner man. And we need to touch on this. Who or what is the inner man? We need to first check our roots to find this out. At creation, man was constructed a trichotomy. A trichotomy. Three. A three-faceted being. In the Garden of Eden, just like you are today, by the way, Adam and you and I, we are of a body, we are of a soul, and we are of a spirit. Man's body, Genesis 2 verse 7 says, and the Lord formed man out of the dust of the ground. That's his body. Your body. Genesis 2 verse 7 on the latter end of the verse. Man's soul or conscience. It says, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Psuche, where we get the word psychology. Soulology, the study of the soul. It's how man thinks. When God breathed into that dust clod, Adam, he breathed into him the breath of life, and he became a living soul. He had reason. He had conscience. He had thought. He had emotion. Now listen carefully. Every one of you have that. But there may be in this room tonight those who are not born again. You still have a spirit. The Bible tells us in the trichotomy of man that God made us a spirit being. And it says in Thessalonians and many other places in Scripture, but 1 Thessalonians 5:23 brings them all together and says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are a trichotomy. And the spirit is what fell in the Garden of Eden. Remember when God said to Adam and Eve, the day that you eat of this fruit, you'll die? Let me ask you, did they die that day? They didn't die physically that day, did they? But God says, the day you eat of that fruit, you'll die. Well, then what died? The spirit died. When God created Adam and Eve, Adam lived by the spirit. The spirit life was uppermost. It was dominant. The soul is always in the middle. The soul is in the middle. And the soul, his thinking, and his songs, and his emotion, his joy, his action and reaction, was led by the Spirit. His Spirit alive unto God. And what followed the Spirit? The soul. What followed the soul? The body. The body was lowermost on the totem pole. But on the day that Adam and Eve sinned, the soul stayed right in the middle, and there was an inversion. And the flesh went uppermost, and the spirit died. And the moment the spirit died, Adam and Eve looked at each other and said, boy, are we naked. And the flesh made its first religious attempt. It grabbed for fig leaves and began to sew them together. That was man's first attempt at religion, to cover his guilt. And it was Adam and Eve who created the first attempt of man in religion. The spirit died, the body became uppermost dominant, body consciousness, and the soul said, well, whoever's in charge, I'll follow. That's why as a Christian, if you're feeding on the Word of God on Sunday and you're feeding on pornography or loose things on Monday, your soul is caught in between and you'll constantly toggle back and forth between victory and defeat. Victory and defeat. And after a while, God will let you just eat it in defeat. To get you sick of it, He'll let you shove it down your face until it comes out your nostrils and you're sick of it, so that you'll throw your hands up and say, I've had enough of this. That is the soul warring against the spirit. And the flesh is so confused because it wants to raise its hands on Sunday, but then it's got its hands in places where it ought not to be on Monday. And the Bible says that's a natural, or that's a carnal man. A carnal man in 1 Corinthians. But it's very important that we understand that. Very important. That's why Jesus said you must be born again. Regarding the inner man, who is this inner man? It is the brand new person that you are since the day that you accepted Jesus Christ. That's the inner man. In fact, turn to John chapter 3, and we need to hurry on this, but it's so important. John 3, verse 3. Jesus answered and said to him, Nicodemus, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born again when he's old? Can he enter in a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered and said, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water, that is of the earth, normal, born through your mom, and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. In other words, there's two births, one of this world, and there's a second birth, being born again. That which is born of the flesh, he's talking about it now, is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That's your commentary in verse 5, is verse 6. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. When he says born again here in John chapter 3, the word born in Greek means to reproduce after another, to regenerate, to bring forth or to be delivered of a gender or of an offspring. It's literally a birth from heaven. The word born again, literally the word again in Greek means to be coming from above. Born from above. That's what the word born again means, born from above. The word again means to come from above, to be renewed from above, to have a new beginning from above. And that's the Spirit. That's the whole meaning behind 2 Corinthians 5:17, where Paul says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. He's born again. He's born from above. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. Ephesians 4:21. If indeed, or since indeed, you have heard of him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former life, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitfulness of lust, and be renewed by the Spirit of your mind, that you may be able to put on the new man which has been created according to God in righteousness and in holiness. That's the inward man. If you're born again tonight, you have a new inner man alive in you. And if you are born again, you know what it's like, because that inner man argues with the outer man. Let's go here. No, let's go there. I want this. No, you can't have that. That's of the flesh. I want this because it's of the Spirit. Hey, sit down and be quiet. I want this. No. And if you eat the Bible, the inner man gets stronger and he can knock out the outer man. Harry Ironside going across the United States way back in 1950. He was coming from Chicago to Los Angeles on a train, and he was in South Dakota. And he did a service there, and this Indian man was sitting in the service, and the Indian man went up to Harry Ironside after the service, and he said, I just want to thank you for the message. Really blessed me. And Ironside says, you know, I was wondering if, you know, looking at you, I was just wondering if you were born again. He said, well, yes, I am. He said, well, you say that pretty confidently. How do you know that you're born again? He said, well, it's easy. He said, ever since I accepted Jesus Christ, there became in my being a white dog and a black dog. He goes, what? He goes, well, ever since I accepted Jesus Christ, I got a white dog and a black dog inside me. He says, well, I don't know what you mean. He goes, well, one thing wants one, One dog wants one way and one dog wants the other way. And the black dog is bad and the white dog is good. And he goes, I struggle back and forth because, since I accepted Christ, that's how it is. And Ironside says, yeah, you are born again. He goes, I'm curious, how do you see to it which one wins out of these two dogs? And he says, well, that's simple. The Indian man said, that's simple. He said, the one who wins is the one I feed the most. You see? You feed the black dog, you're going to be caught up into the flesh. You eat Bible, and you feed the white dog, and you're going to win. Someone has said 7 days without the Bible makes 1 week. W-E-A-K. Isn't that true? It's so true. But this word strengthened. And we're going to end on this thought. The word strengthened with might. The word strengthened is to be empowered. This is Paul's prayer, that we be empowered. The word means to be empowered. It means to increase in spiritual vitality. To be becoming stronger and more powerful. And this is how it happens in the Christian life. I want you to grab your Bible and turn to Luke chapter 11, verse 11. And we're going to do this tonight. Oh, and everybody listen carefully. How many of you are Christians tonight? Just wave at me real quick. That looks neat. You have, those of you who waved your hands, you have the Holy Spirit living inside you. Do you understand that? He lives inside. According to Corinthians 12, when you accepted Christ, you were baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. The word in the Greek means it's a one-time event, once. You don't have to keep coming forward or raising your hand on Sunday morning. If you did it once, you don't have to ever do it again. You might want to do it because you've blown it. And you're doing that for your own conscience. God knows who you are. Your name is written in the book. You're okay. You don't have to keep coming forward. Oh, I got to get reborn again. No, you don't.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a presentation taken from Ephesians 3 and verses 14 through 17, where Paul pens quite the Trinitarian passage. A Prayer for Power is the title of this mini-series, and we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Our goal here at Real Radio is to build you up in the faith and to present the truth of the Almighty to non-believers so that they might come to a saving knowledge of Messiah. But no matter how strong our faith, from time to time, doubt creeps in. Doubt can be discouraging, but none of us can escape it completely. Remember, even the disciple Peter had times of doubt. The word doubting has forever been attached to Thomas, another of Jesus' disciples. Even the great prophet John the Baptist knew the struggle of doubt personally. We all struggle with doubt. And this is why Pastor Jack has put together a two-part DVD presentation called Why Do We Struggle with Doubt? Why Do We Struggle with Doubt? Gives us 10 reasons why we all struggle with doubt in our lives as believers, no matter what kinds of doubts you've had about the faith. Pastor Jack has likely dealt with the issue. So here's our offer for this month. For your gift of any amount in support of the ongoing work of Real Radio, we'll send you this two-part DVD set, Why Do We Struggle with Doubt? Again, for your gift of any amount to the ongoing work of Real Radio, we'll be glad to send your way this two-part DVD set, Why Do We Struggle with Doubt? Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our telephone number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.